So you can open up with me today for our sermon text, which comes once again and for the final time from the book of Daniel. We'll be looking at the last six verses of this book, Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 through 13. So hear now the word of the Lord. I, that is Daniel, heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant. So I asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord? But he said, go now, Daniel, for what I have said is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials, but the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means. From the time the daily sacrifice is stopped and the sacrilegious object that causes desecration is set up to be worshipped, there will be 1,290 days. And blessed are those who wait and remain until the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning once again for the book of Daniel. Lord, we thank you for all that you have shown us since the second Sunday of February when we began this book. We thank you, Lord, for the many, many truths that we've seen, for the ways that we trust you have already transformed and changed us through the words of this book by the power of your Spirit. We do pray that you would seal up, so to speak, the truth of your word in all of our hearts. Lord, that you would cause everything that we have heard and learned from Daniel by the power of the Spirit to set root deep down in our hearts, that many things that perhaps we haven't even meditated on yet, you will bring to mind years from now. And Lord, that you would cause these things to come to fruition now and years from now throughout the totality of our Christian lives. And so Lord, we pray as we finish this series now that you would seal up and bind every word that we have seen in this book in all of our hearts, and that you would do it in particular this morning with these last six verses from this book. We pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. And we pray it all in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we do move this morning into our 20th and final sermon from the book of Daniel. And as we come to the end of this book, let me say, in a very real sense, Daniel here at the end of the book is just like all of us in one particular way. Just like every believer who has ever really considered the things that have been on display for us so far in the book of Daniel. And let me get at this a few ways as a form of introduction here before we move right into the text. All right, as this book draws to a close, I would imagine for many who were here last week, you may have had a question as you left. Because there are many important questions, but at least one very important question here. And this is this: what, if anything, am I actually supposed to do with what we have seen these last weeks from the book of Daniel, right? What am I supposed to do with all that we've just seen in these last number of weeks? And to get at that question, let me reframe it a little bit. Think about it this way. Sometimes there are things that we know that we are tempted to share that knowledge with another person, but we're not actually sure whether we should or not. All right, give an example. For instance, say you are at work, you overhear one coworker make a disparaging comment about another coworker, and you initially think you should share that information with them. But as you think a little bit more about it, you're unsure whether you need to or not, right? You know, okay, of course I'm not gonna lie if I'm asked about this, but God's command to not bear false witness isn't a command that we have to tell everybody every single thing we've ever known. So you think about that disparaging comment and you ask yourself, if I share this with my coworker, what is he supposed to do with this information? Is there, in fact, anything worthwhile for him to do with that information? And perhaps in some instances, you may rightly decide that you don't need to share that information with him at all. All right, now, it's a general hypothetical. We can think of all kinds of scenarios where we might answer that question in different ways. So don't think too hard on that. But my point in bringing that up is this. God never simply shares information with us just for the sake of sharing information. Let me say that again. God never shares information with us just for the sake of sharing information. Everything God has revealed, every single dot and letter that God has given us in His Word is given to us for a purpose. To say it another way, God never gives us a single idle word. Everything He says is intended to direct us in some particular way. Every word He gives us is intended to direct our thoughts or to direct our actions or to direct our feelings or motivations, right? Everything He gives us has purpose. Now, that does mean, very importantly, there are many things God hasn't revealed to us, right? Many things. We're going to see this morning, actually, some of that. That there are things God hasn't revealed to us. There are probably many reasons for that, but one of them would be that there are certain parts of information God could give us that we really couldn't do anything with. So it's unhelpful for us to know it, thus we don't have it. Now there's other reasons He doesn't reveal things as well, but that would be one. So as we come to the end of this book, the conclusion in Daniel is remarkable. I want us to kind of meditate on that this morning as we finish this book, because it shows us that there are many things we haven't been told, while also showing us what we should do with what we have been told. We see God telling Daniel exactly what he should do with everything God has shown him, which is exactly the same thing we should do with it as well. So with that said, we've got two final main points from our series in Daniel this morning, and they are these. Point number one, there are many things God hasn't revealed to us about the end of the world. There are many things God hasn't revealed to us about the end of the world. Point number two, our eyes must remain fixed on something beyond the end of the world. Our eyes must remain fixed on something beyond the end of the world. So point number one, there are many things God hasn't revealed to us about the end of the world, and we see this in verses 8 through 12. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, you know that Daniel has just received a remarkable vision from the Lord, delivered by an angel in chapter 11:1 through 12:3. Now, in response to that, an angel actually asked an important question. An angel asked the question, how long until these astonishing things will have happened? And that's so much of what we saw last week. So I'm not going to re-preach that sermon today. But part of the answer to the angel's question was that the end of the world would not come until the power of the holy people has been shattered. An unsettling but important truth about the future ahead for God's people between the time of Jesus' first coming and his second coming. And of course, we know that this is the exact pattern of Jesus' life too. And again, all this we spoke about last week. But here's our point for today. All right? I think the message is clear in verse 7. That the end of the world will not arrive until the power of God's holy people in this world has been shattered. I think that's clear in the text, which likely raises a question for every thoughtful Christian who considers this verse. And it's the exact question then that Daniel asks. Look at verse 8. Daniel says, I heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant. So I asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord? All right, now let me say before we go any further, do you feel like Daniel too in that sense? I know I do. Daniel hears this answer that the angel gives, and he can't help but speak up. He hears that the end of the world will come only once the power of God's holy people has been shattered, and then he tells us that he didn't understand that at all. Not that he disagrees with it, just that he doesn't understand it. I hear what you said, but I don't understand what that means. So he turns to the angel and asks the very question I would want to ask: how will all this finally end? In other words, how will the power of God's holy people be shattered? What even does that mean? How will the mysterious Antichrist figure end up deceiving the nations to consolidate all this power of evil against the Lord and against God's people? How will the end actually come if the power of God's holy people has been shattered, right? How will all this finally end? And that is the correct context for us understanding the angel's answer in verses 9 to 12. Because this is a valid question. It's not invalid. It's not a sinful question. Perfectly fair question to ask. How will all this finally end? Because we don't understand how verse 7 could actually be the case. Do you feel that? Not that we are challenging the Lord, but rather we simply don't understand. And if that's where you are, then let me tell you, that's where I am, all right? That's where Daniel was. It's why he's asking this question. And I think that's actually what this should prompt from us and from every generation of Christians as we read through it. How will all this finally end? All right, now with that said, we need to then hear the answer because we get, well, you'll see. We get an answer and then we kind of get some assurances. All right, beginning verse 9. But he said, go now, Daniel, for what I have said is kept secret, or let me go ahead and say here more literally, what I have said is shut up. I think that's the better translation. And sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials, but the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what it means. From the time the daily sacrifice is stopped, and the sacrilegious object that causes desecration is set up to be worshipped, there will be 1,290 days, and blessed are those who wait and remain until the end of the 1,335 days. Okay, so we have a lot here, don't we? So let's take it in its entirety. All right, first, and most importantly, the angel tells Daniel, go now. In essence, this is the most important phrase of these four verses. Because in response to Daniel's question, he doesn't get an answer that's going to help him understand at all. Rather, he is being told that that is all there is to say for now. Notice the angel says that what has already been said is shut up and sealed. All right, I think that's the better translation. This is the same phrase we saw last week in verse 4, and I spoke at length about it then. But briefly, let me say, I don't think this is saying that it's going to be hidden. Why not? Because these words are now out there. They've been uttered. They've been shared. Rather, for something to be shut up and sealed, as Dale Ralph Davis notes, is to have words that are authenticated and preserved. All right? Like a baseball card. I know I gave this illustration last week, but many baseball cards today that are being produced with autographs, as soon as they come off the production line, they are encased. They are put in a case with a seal, and they're done that way for three reasons. Number one, they're done that way to authenticate them so that you can see this is an authentic autograph, not a counterfeit, right? Number two, it's done that way to preserve that in its pristine state, so that it remains that way. But number three, it's done so in a way that it can be displayed, that it can be shown, that it can be looked at. And I think that is the perfect illustration for what we have here. The angel has given Daniel all these incredible words in the book generally, and also here at the end of the book specifically. And the angel is telling Daniel, what has been said is now out there, and it has been, so to speak, encased and sealed, so as to be certain to pass in the future. And in the meantime, it is to be meditated on, considered as an authentic word of the Lord that cannot be undone. That's what has come. And very importantly, the angel is saying, this is all you will receive for now. In other words, is there more to the story about how the end of the world is going to happen? Absolutely. Of course, there's much more to the end of that story. How in the world is all of this going to happen? How will it come to pass? And yet the angel tells Daniel to literally go your way, which means you have enough from the Lord to be faithful right now. You have enough to be faithful in the here and now. This is all you need to know, and in fact, it may be all you could handle. So there is nothing else Daniel really gets in response to his question, how will this end? He is simply told, go your way. And let me say, that message is still true for us today. There is a certain level that I think all of us have of wanting to think about how the world will actually come to an end. But in God's wisdom, he has determined that it would not be helpful for us to know every detail of how this world is going to end. And we can trust him in that. However, the angel does continue. That's not all he says. The angel then gives Daniel some assurances, even though it doesn't answer his question on how the end will come. And stick with me here. All right, let me give a brief example before we get to these verses, because I think this should be helpful. All right, Hank, my son, sometimes likes to watch old Clemson football games with me. Probably will not watch last night's game, but we watch old Clemson football games. And sometimes he will ask the question, Dad, how does this end? And I have said before, well, it's hard to explain. Just watch and see, but I can tell you now, the Tigers come back and win the game. Right? There's a level of assurance, even though I'm not able to actually explain to him exactly how this game is going to end. All right? Well, that's something like what Daniel gets here. He's not given any more information on how exactly the end will happen, but he does get three important notes of assurance. First, Daniel is told in verse 10 that when all these devastating things happen to the people of God, it will still serve to purify, cleanse, and refine God's people. That is to say, when times of suffering come upon God's people in the future, God will make sure to use that suffering in a way that is going to cleanse and purify and refine his people. This should be an encouragement, by the way, for all of us in here too. Because all of us go through times of suffering. All of us go through times where we have to persevere and endure, and we need to know that God never lets one bit of suffering that we go through happen that doesn't serve in some way to purify, cleanse, and refine us, to prepare us for what is to come, to prepare us to shine like the sky forever, as we saw 2 weeks ago. Doesn't mean that God rejoices in our suffering, far from it, but it does mean that our suffering is never in vain. It is not worthless. It is not a waste of time or effort or energy. In fact, in God's economy, he uses everything we experience to prepare us for our eternal home. For Daniel, and for us too, this is to encourage us not to fret about God's people who will have to endure that great suffering at the very end. All right, will it be bad at that time? Yes. Will God make sure, though, that he uses those times of great suffering for their ultimate good? Yes, he will. Both can be true. So we can pray even now for that last generation, but we do not need to fret for that last generation, because God is going to use that suffering in some way to prepare them for the glory to come. All right, second, still in verse 10, Daniel is told that when the final era begins, God's people will understand what is happening. Now, the wicked will not, but God's people will. And this is important. Does Daniel understand how everything is going to end? He doesn't. Do we currently understand how all of this will end? We don't. But the angel makes sure that we know that just because we don't understand doesn't mean that last generation won't understand, because they will. They will see what is happening, and the wise will know what it means, while the wicked in that generation will continue in their wickedness, unable to understand what is going on around them. So again, Daniel, don't fret. Their suffering will be used for their good, and they won't be as confused as you are when the time comes, because it will make sense to them at that time in God's mercy. And then finally, verses 11 and 12, there is an articulation here of days, 1290, 1335, events, right? A daily sacrifice being stopped, sacrilegious object that causes desecration. And let me say, I am not sure what this means. I do understand very well the position that some commentators have who relate these numbers to the time of Antiochus Epiphanes or to the time of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. Honestly, those don't fit exactly right in my mind. I do think those two events are little tokens of this final time that is to come. So I do see a connection between those. But as for these verses having already been fully fulfilled, I don't think that's the case. I think this is speaking of something still yet to happen. I think this is going to be part of how that final generation is going to be able to understand what is going on around them at that time. Maybe these are exact number of days. Maybe they're symbolic. They're certainly connected in some way to the book of Revelation. I'm not exactly sure of everything, but I will say this. No matter how we understand these verses, the main point for us is clear. The angel is telling Daniel that there will be a prolonged time of great persecution that is slightly shorter than the fullness of that time. And the point is here that there will be a blessed group who will endure that entire time of suffering, ensuring that there will be a faithful witness to the gospel present all the way to the end, and that this group will make it out on the other side when the victory has been won. All right? So to sum it up, here in our first point, for as much as we don't understand, the angel has made some things clear. Daniel asks, how will all this end? The angel answers essentially, that isn't for you to know right now, Daniel. You go your way. However, let me set your heart at ease about three things. First, the suffering of God's holy people in the future will not be lost on the Lord, and he will use that suffering to bring about something beautifully glorious in his people. Though their power will be shattered, the people will actually be purified, cleansed, and refined as a result of the shattering, and they will shine like the sky forever. Second, just because you don't understand doesn't mean they won't. Because when the time comes, God's people will not have to guess at any of this. They will understand and know what all this means. And finally, despite the incredible trials that arrive, there will even be a blessed group that will survive it all and be alive and present when the very end arrives, which I think connects very well to the end of 1 Corinthians. And I don't know about you. I do mean this. I really don't know about you and where you are. But just personally speaking, I can say this is enough for me. God has told us that his people will be better for having gone through the suffering, as hard as it will be, that they will not be in the dark when the time arrives, and that even a group of his people will remain through it all, ensuring there will always be a faithful witness to the gospel, no matter how dark the future gets. And again, that is enough for me. And I think that's a healthy place to be, to say, I don't understand what all of this means. You haven't revealed everything to us about the end for good reason, but I can rest in these assurances and move forward. That we can say, okay, Lord, that is enough for me. Therefore, what do I do now? And that leads us to the final verse of this book, the final point of our sermon series, where I actually think the whole book of Daniel has been leading us, right? The whole book has been leading us to this final verse, and in many ways, this final point right here. So point number two, our eyes must remain fixed on something beyond the end. We see this in verse 13, so let me read it again. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. And brothers and sisters, I say this from time to time in sermons, but this is a verse to memorize. Children in here, if you're memorizing verses, this is a great verse to memorize. Because this is the Christian life in so many ways. As for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance set aside for you. Three things we see here. First, Daniel's told to go his way until the end. Now, this isn't the Lord telling Daniel to just do whatever he wants until the end. This isn't the Lord saying, hey, whatever your heart desires, you just do that until the end. Right? That's not what he's saying. Rather, this is the Lord telling Daniel, your calling isn't to be concerned about understanding what will happen at the end of human history as we know it. Definitively, that is not Daniel's calling. Therefore, likewise, it is not our calling either. There is a reason. Y'all don't hear me talk very much about the end of the world, because it isn't my calling to understand and constantly meditate on what the final days of human history as we know it will be like. And I actually think that an overfascination with the end of human history is detrimental to our faith, because it takes our eyes off of what we really need to be focused on. Because God doesn't call us to try and figure out exactly how things will finally end. Rather, we're called to be faithful now. We're called to be faithful in the present. We're not called to live in the past. We're not called to live in the future. We're called to live right now in the present. And that's what Daniel's being told to do. He is told to go his own way until the end. That is to say, he has been given a race to run from the Lord, and the Lord is telling him, you finish this race that I have given you. Let me encourage you here. I like what Dale Ralph Davis says. Davis says this, in other words, get back to your desk and filing cabinet, Daniel, and finish your day's work. Plod along and living quietly and working with your own hands and being faithful to King Cyrus, your Persian emperor. And I think for all of us in here today, we could come up with two lines just like that, or a paragraph just like that, when we could take into account all the places God has put us where we have a race of faith to walk, whether it's walking in a marriage or walking in singleness, right? Whether it's walking with young children or adult children or no children. Whether it's walking in the search of a job and career, or a career that we're very joyful in, or a career that we're kind of is hard, right? The neighborhood that we live in, the friends that we have, all of these things are where God has planted us. That is our race of faith God has given us. And this is telling us, as it's told to Daniel, you go your way. You stay focused on the here and now where you are. And to know, this is precisely how the Lord is going to prepare the way for that last generation of believers to navigate the end anyways. I could say this, to obsess about the end does not help that final generation at all. But when God's people are faithful in our tiny pockets of the world right now, in his economy, that is actually helping the final generation in some way. We don't know how. But we do know that where we're faithful in our callings and where God has put us, God is lining all of those things up and giving all of it meaning and all of it importance and direction, not just for us as individuals, but for the advancement of his kingdom. Something we've seen from the beginning of Daniel, that God's kingdom is ever growing and expanding. And the best thing we can do is be faithful right where we are and trust that God is using that to grow and expand things until the very end arrives. So we too are called to go our own way, and then we will rest. Note that, by the way. Then we will rest. What is this rest? Is this something we get in life now? It is not. All right, this is the rest of a dearly departed saint who has died and left their body on earth while their soul is caught up with Jesus in paradise, resting for a time while human history continues to play out in this world. But is that the ultimate end that we really are looking forward to? Important point. Is that rest in heaven ultimately everything we're looking forward to? It is not. Now, that doesn't devalue heaven, right? That is a wonderful place to be. Our body at rest in the ground while our soul is in that glorious heavenly rest with the Lord. We are no longer part of the church militant in going our way here in this world, but we are at rest. Praise the Lord for that. How wonderful. But that isn't the end. You see, part of us going our way until the end is navigating our lives here on earth until we die, but that is not the end. That important point here. The end will still be out ahead of us, because the end will come not when our body is laid to rest on this earth, but when our body is raised up once again on the day Christ returns. To say it another way, no one has reached the end if their body is still lifeless on this earth. They may have reached the end of their race here, but they have not reached the end, the ultimate end of human history as we know it. People who have died have entered a glorious rest, but it is not their end. That is not ultimately what we are looking forward to. We are looking forward to the day that our bodies are raised up. And notice the way the entire book of Daniel ends. When we receive the inheritance set aside for us. Or more literally, when we receive our allotment that God has already now designated for us to receive. Brothers and sisters, that's what we're looking forward to. We will be overjoyed to finally be in heaven with the Lord at the day of our death. But even that is not actually the very end. That is just a temporary rest while we receive that we receive while the battle continues to wage in this world. All the battles we've read about and all the battles that are still to come and many more that we don't know about. To be in heaven is a time of glorious rest. Excuse me. But it is not the end. It is not at that point where we receive our allotment, our inheritance of the new heavens and new earth. That will come only once all of God's saints, past, present, and future, have persevered and endured their spiritual battles in this world. So as we close this sermon, as we close our series in Daniel, and if you've been with us for a while, as we actually close 2.5 years in the Old Testament, here at Village Prez, let us remember this. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came into this world. When he did, he came as both the glorious Messiah and the suffering servant. In fact, it was his faithfulness to suffer well and to wear our shame and disgrace that allowed him to actually save us from our sins, to rescue us from having to wear our shame and guilt for all of eternity. He is the one that the book of Daniel points to, and it is to Jesus Christ that we must look this day for our salvation. But we don't merely look at just what he did at his first coming, because the book of Daniel and the book of the Kings, both 1st and 2nd Kings, have shown us the totality of Christ's work on our behalf. The work that he's already accomplished in his first coming, the work that he is about right now, seated at God's right hand in heaven, ever living to intercede for us and continuing to direct his people that we may persevere and endure to the end, and the work Christ will do, right? What he's done, what he is doing, and what he will do at his second coming when he returns again to bring an end to human history as we presently know it. Because hear me say this, brothers and sisters, not only has Jesus saved you from your sins, not only has he made you right with the Lord, but he has set aside for you an allotment, an inheritance. He has set aside for you a portion in the new heavens and the new earth, which you will receive on the day he comes again. There is much about the end that we have not been told, but this is something God wants us to know. He wants us to know about this allotment. He wants us to know about our eternal inheritance, this portion that has been set aside for all of us in the new heavens and the new earth, so that we can dwell more on that reality, the reality beyond the end, than we dwell on the things we don't know about how this world will end. But that's only true for us if we have been saved from our sins. Those who have an allotment in the new heavens and new earth are only those who have come to Christ, who have rested and trusted in his work for our total salvation, to have given us his righteousness, which qualifies us for this, and taking away our shame and our guilt. That is who has an allotment set aside in the new heavens and new earth. So may we all in here embrace this. Embrace that Christ offers to us today to free us from our shame and fear and guilt, so that we may indeed shine as bright as the sky forever and ever, reflecting the glory of the Lord himself, who offers us today a place and an allotment in his eternal kingdom on the day Christ returns. Let your mind be set upon that. And brothers and sisters, may you go your way now until that glorious end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word to us. Lord, as we meditate on this truth, all that we've seen in these 20 sermons through these 12 chapters of Daniel, as we see this, where this book ends, Lord, we confess we can't actually even begin to comprehend the gift of an allotment and an inheritance in the new heavens and the new earth. Lord, that we will be with you forever. Lord, help us in this life to persevere to the end. Help us walk in faith the races that you have set out for each one of us to walk. Help us come alongside one another to do that well with one another, that we may not try to do that in isolation. Lord, we pray right now for all those who will join our church in the years and decades to come who are not here yet. We pray for their walks right now as well. But Lord, we pray that you would help us to set our sight on this thing beyond the end, when your Son returns and the new heavens and new earth arrive, and with it we receive in that eternal promised land our allotment, our inheritance, which is in you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your mercy and grace. Help us to go our way until the end, that we may then rest and all of us rise up to everlasting life on that last day. May it be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.